This is the Shit You Need to Know podcast. I'm your host, Martha Riley. I'm a TEDx speaker, cheese pizza lover, and master human connector. I help introverts, people with social anxiety, and awkward humans of the world find confidence, connection, and their cool factor. Because have you ever been to a party and someone asked you a question that you didn't know the answer to? Yeah, me too. It fucking sucks. But that's where I come in. I'm asking the questions so you'll have the answers. So sit back, relax, because there's shit we need to know. We think I should write a theme song for this podcast, like a little jingle that I sing each week. Would that make me more popular? I don't know. But I think it's so funny that week after week, I always work on this podcast and I listen to other personal podcasts of my own and not other personal podcasts. I only have one podcast, but I listen to other people's podcasts. And each week it's always different. But it's funny because my life is generally like pretty much the same. I try to spice it up, but it's very much like I go to work, I come home, I make dinner, I hang out with my boyfriend or I'll hang out with my friends. And that's kind of it. I'm like actually a really boring person. I like things to be the same and routine, which is why this is so bizarre that I talk about different things each week and I get to meet all these different people. Don't get me wrong. I absolutely love what I do. And I think this has been the wildest journey of my life, but I don't know. Food for thought. But it's question time. And I wanted to ask you guys if you think it would be a good idea if I did a live event. And now I know some of you aren't local to the Minneapolis, St. Paul area, so it wouldn't, you know, work for you to come to a live event. But I'm kind of thinking like two different things. It would either be like a thing where I get up and answer people's questions, sort of like a live show. It could be about dating advice, life advice, pretty much anything they want to talk about, I will answer. Or would we focus solely on dating, where people would come up and talk about their dating problems and stuff like that. So I don't know. I'm toying with the idea of a live event. I think it could be really fun. Also not sure I totally have, you know, a huge audience for that, but hopefully there are a dedicated few of you that would love to come support me either way. So we'll do the same thing as last week. Find me on Instagram at RealMarthaRiley, and I will put the poll up on Wednesday. I actually almost forgot last week, but I will do it this week. And let me know what you think. And be honest, if you wouldn't come to a live event, it would be no more than $10, and honestly, it'd probably be donation-based to make sure that it's not cost prohibitive for anyone. And if you wouldn't come, that's totally cool. I want to have that feedback either way. This week on the Shit You Need to Know podcast, we have Queenie Von Curves. She is a burlesque performer in the Twin Cities area, and she talks a lot about body positivity and what burlesque is, because basically, and you'll hear later in the episode, you sort of get onto a song and you just start stripping down. And if you're like me, who's technically considered, you know, a plus size human being, oh my God, like I can, no, like my stripping down is confined to the bedroom and when I get in the shower. That's it. Clothes are on every other time of the day. So I think it's really inspiring to me to see how she does her shows and really brings that level of confidence, and is comfortable with her body. And I think that's something we all need to learn to do, really, is how to become more confident with who we are and the body that we have. You can try to change it, but if you don't have this base level of making sure that you have some self-acceptance with yourself, you're really not going to get to go anywhere. I have friends that are really skinny and they're just like, they constantly need to comment on how skinny they are and how, you know, they need to go on a diet. And I'm just like, fuck you, I'm eating my pizza. So I think it's really interesting. Even those people that consider themselves to be really skinny still don't see themselves that way. And then people who are on the other end of the spectrum, maybe like a size 12 to 14, 16, are super confident. So I'm interested to hear what you think about this episode. I loved talking to Queenie. She was really great. And I can't wait to go see her show sometime in Minneapolis. So take it away.
So my stage name is Queenie Von Curves. I'm a burlesque performer locally in town. Most often I perform with Black Hearts Burlesque. I'm a cast member there at Lush. I'm also the producer of the Twin Cities chapter of Naked Girls Reading, which is exactly what it sounds like. I'm also a dance instructor. I teach a class called Dance for Every Body. It's an inclusive dance class, so anybody can take it and enjoy themselves. It's no pressure and just for fun. Right now I teach that through Twin Cities Burlesque Academy. And my day job, I'm lucky enough that I still work in the industry I love. I'm the box office manager for Theater La Teda.
I think I saw like someone attending it on Facebook, but Naked Girls Reading sounds really interesting. So I will have to check that out for sure.
Yes, I would recommend it. Yeah, absolutely. It's prevalent in the burlesque community because I think because burlesque performers are already so comfortable in their own bodies and being in front of people in that kind of vulnerable state. It was also started by a burlesque performer in Chicago. So there's a lot of crossover between burlesque and Naked Girls Reading, but it at its core, it's a literary event. And I think live reading is a dying art, and I'm really glad that it's a show that's trying to keep that kind of performance art alive.
Yeah, very cool. I mean, who doesn't love books?
And naked women.
Exactly. So how did you get into burlesque dancing? Was it one event that sort of sparked your interest, or was it something you maybe grew up wanting to do or wanted to know more about?
Sure. So I stumbled into a burlesque show. I only lived here maybe a year, and I had friends visiting, and you know, they always say you actually find out what your city has to offer when you have someone visit, because you actually look at what's to do. And there was this burlesque show at a local bar, and I was like, well, let's just check it out. And so it was actually Le Cirque Rouge Cabaret and Burlesque at the 331 Club, so it was, which is one of my favorite, like, just hometown dive bars. And they always have some sort of live music or performance art or event that's happening, and there's never a cover. So it was a great opportunity. We stumbled in, and it had already started. So we literally walked in halfway through a burlesque number, and I just was like, wow, what is this? Like, instantly I just like was magnetized to it. And so after that, I just kind of would pop into their shows as much as I could. They also had a live band accompaniment, which I loved. It kind of made it feel like another time. It felt very much like vintage classic burlesque. And so I kind of just went to their shows for like a year, and was there enough that I kind of made friends with some of the performers. And then eventually, after probably a year of going off and on, the leader, Amy Buchanan, just was talking to me after the show. And she goes, I just wanted to let you know that I booked you for our next show. And I was like, excuse me? No. I can't do this. That's hilarious. And she was like, no, you've been here enough. You've seen it. And she knew enough that I worked as a costume designer and I had a dance background. And I think she sensed that I just needed a shove. And so even though I tried to fight it, there was no fighting it. And so here I was, had seen it, but never done it. And I had to figure it out. And she said, come up with two numbers. And they had very specific rules. Like their music had to be vintage. So it had to be between the 20s and the 40s. So I had to do a lot of research. So I'm a nerd. And so I do what nerds do. And I researched the hell out of what burlesque is and where it came from and who's doing it. I looked up costuming. And then I, of course, had to research vintage burlesque music to be able to figure out what I could do. And I think doing all that research was really, ended up being really a benefit to me, because I wasn't scared about being on stage. I wasn't scared about dancing or having a character because I had a theater background and a dance background. What was terrifying to me was doing it in the essence of what this performance art specifically was. And I was terrified that people were going to see my body. Like, I mean, I feel like all of us obviously have our own opinions about our bodies and our own insecurities. And so for me to have to, it's such a big, like, trust to be able to go out there and expose yourself in that manner. And I was so scared. I almost didn't go, but I went. And I did it, and it was like, as soon as I stepped out on that stage in my character, I was hooked, just absolutely hooked. So it was kind of a chance shove that got me into it. And it just ended up being one of the best things I've ever done.
That's so awesome. I feel like people, you know, whatever the number one fear is, like public speaking, but that's like that to a whole nother level. So that's really awesome to hear that you just went for it. I'm sure that was like a really liberating feeling as well.
It definitely was. Yes, absolutely.
And how did your character name come about? How did Queenie Von Curves, how was she born?
The character I kind of found this like little sliver in me that is very confident and funny. And I like to say that the Queenie's very cheeky, because cheeky is such a great way to have that sexuality, but also kind of have like a little wink with it all the time. And so that definitely kind of influenced my character. And then my name, it's really a complicated process trying to figure out what your stage name is going to be, because you want to be respectful to other people who have names and not take other people's creativity. So it's really important to really delve into as much as you can, figuring out everyone else's name to make sure you're not doing anything too similar. And then also it's important that it's a name you're going to stick with. So you also want to try to find something that's not going to like pigeonhole you into a very specific genre, unless that's absolutely what you want to do. But so the way I came up with mine is I definitely wanted something in the name to convey my body shape, because part of the reason I was doing this was to work on my own body positivity and also try to promote that for others, to give others, you know, an opportunity to see their own body on stage. And so Curves, that's where Curves came from. And then I'm German, and so Von Curves is kind of like a German last name, like a very fancy German last name. And then Queenie actually came because my grandmother, so my grandpa used to sing this song. There's a song called Strip Polka, and it's about a burlesque performer named Queenie. And it's just a really cute, fun song. The most famous version is by the Andrews Sisters, so it's adorable. And, you know, there's little lines like, take it off. And it's just a really cute burlesque number. And it talks about how, you know, but she stops only just in time. And it's just very cheeky. It was like very perfect. And my grandpa used to sing it to my grandma when I was a kid and convinced me that it was about my grandmother, that my grandmother was the real Queenie. And that every time I would go to bed, even still as a kid, when she was my grandma, that she would sneak off and be the star of the burlesque house. And so I grew up thinking that my grandma was the secret burlesque star named Queenie who had this song written for her. And so as an adult, of course, it came out that it wasn't true, but I just remembered that. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have to be Queenie because it's in my family. And when I came out to my grandma and told her I was doing burlesque, she goes, well, it's about time we have a burlesque performer in the family. So that's how Queenie Von Curves came to be.
Let's talk a little bit more about the body positivity aspect of it. So I'm definitely someone who struggles with their own body image. Like you talk about getting on stage and performing, and I'm like, I can barely wear a swimsuit on vacation. So what are some of the things you did to become more confident, as well as how do you bring that confidence from the stage into everyday life? Kind of a two question there.
So yeah, body positivity, I feel like is kind of interwoven into the burlesque community in a way. Not everyone makes it part of their mission, I think like their personal mission with performing. But what really attracted me to burlesque is the concept that there is no wrong body in burlesque. That everyone has a space, everyone has a body to be celebrated. And coming from a dance world, I like to say I'm a ballet school dropout. Because I loved dance and I had a dream to be a ballerina, but I did not have the right body and I didn't fit in a box, you know, the box that I was supposed to fit in to be a ballerina. And that was really devastating to me. And I started really hating my body actually through not being able to fit in the right box in dance. And it made me very sad because dancing itself brought me very much joy. Being able to discover burlesque, I was able to incorporate my love of dance while celebrating the fact that I don't fit in a box, that I'm very different from a lot of other dancer bodies, and that's something to be celebrated. And the biggest compliment I ever get when I do burlesque is when someone talks to me after the show and says, I have never seen someone that looks like me on stage. And to be able to to make that connection and make someone else feel celebrated is really a joy. I talk about Queenie in the third person a lot because to me, she's a character, she's a persona I put on. She's definitely who I am, but I feel like I said, she's this kind of sliver of confidence and beauty in me that is just like times a million when I'm Queenie, because Queenie is never wrong. Queenie is never fat. Queenie is never ugly. And it's nice that I'm able to have those moments of feeling that confident and happy, and being able to experience that little pocket of it has really helped me tap into it in my everyday life. Because when I am not in character, I have bad days just like anyone else. You know, I have days where I don't like how I look, or, you know, the clothes that fit me yesterday don't fit today, you know, and things like that. But I have found that if you can wake up even on a bad day, and if you can find one thing that makes you really happy about yourself and build from there. You know, some days I can't find an outfit to wear and I just feel terrible about my body, but I'm having a really good hair day. I concentrate kind of on the fact that I'm having a really great hair day. So if I have this hairstyle, what outfit is going to make me feel great with this hairstyle? Or I feel really great about how my legs look today. So I'm going to wear something that accentuates my legs, and that's what I'm going to think about all day. Because if you really sit down and think and make yourself pick out one thing about yourself that's beautiful and worthy, you're going to find it, and that's what you're going to concentrate on. And sometimes it's really hard. Sometimes it takes a while for you to find that part of you. But if you can find that one bit of you, and it doesn't always have to be physical either. It can be, you know what, my smile is really beautiful, or today I feel really sassy, and I'm going to just like embody that attitude today, and I'm going to walk down the street with it, and it's going to make everything better. So sometimes you just have to take a moment to really love yourself, even when it's hard.
Yeah, I'm actually getting tears in my eyes. That was really beautiful. Thank you. That was really great. And what does burlesque dancing mean to you? Like, what does it give you the freedom to do that maybe you don't have the freedom to do in your personal life? Something along the lines of that. What do I want to say? Yeah, freedom to express who you are, or any other type of creative freedom.
I think burlesque breaks a lot of barriers, not only of at this point, almost radical concept that you're worthy and your body is worthy, but it also kind of breaks down the barriers of the idea of nudity or sexuality being a bad thing. Because I feel like our culture and our society right now has gone way backwards in that realm of thinking to the idea that any sort of expression of positive sensuality or sexuality is something that is inappropriate or things like that, while instead of being celebrated, because we're all sexual beings, we all have bodies and body parts, and they don't necessarily have to be something that's covered up or inappropriate. Like, in the right setting, it's something to be celebrated. And I really like that burlesque celebrates the concept of being a sexual being, but that the performer is 100% always in control. That our sexuality is a gift to the audience, and it's something to be celebrated with, but I am still completely in control of my own body, completely in control of my own sexuality. And I think that's really empowering for people to see, and to also feel empowered in their own bodies and their own sexuality and their own nudity, if that's something that makes them feel great. Like, maybe I'll inspire someone to walk around naked in their own house someday, because sometimes that's scary, but also it is the most freeing thing ever to just be just one with your body in your own safe space. So I feel like burlesque gives me an opportunity to really explore and express my sexuality and nudity in a really safe space, and maybe empower others to do the same.
Awesome. I think I want to go down that vein a little bit more. How would you say that sexuality and femininity relate or maybe come together in this space? Because if I think about it, like a lot of women are taught to, you know, right, that we cover up our assets, we, you know, hide behind turtlenecks, for example. Not that turtlenecks aren't great or sexy or whatever, but how can we feel, how can we, like, I guess, use this sort of thinking to be more comfortable in our own skin and to express that, like, outward feminine queen that we all have inside of us. Does that make sense?
I think people discovering the power of their personal sexuality and comfort in their own bodies is amazing. And for me, burlesque was that path. I think people have found empowerment in other paths as well. I feel like when you find that personal empowerment of sexuality and your body, that it does translate to your everyday. Like even when you're wearing a turtleneck, if you're confident in your sexuality and your body, then you're going to wear that turtleneck. Instead of it feeling like it's something that's covering you up, what I love too is like the concept. I remember on Facebook, there was this like, every once in a while something good comes across Facebook. And it was this really great concept. And it was a drawing of two different women. And one was a woman completely covered up. And the other one was a woman in like a string bikini. And it said, you know, some people feel empowered by wearing nothing, and some people feel empowered by wearing everything. And that is absolutely true. Like if you are feeling empowered as a human being, for me personally, as a woman, and with your sexuality, that I feel like that can translate through all the layers you're wearing. That being a sexual being doesn't always have to correlate with being naked either. Like for me, that's something that worked. But I think that all people are different, and all people find empowerment in different ways. And I think that's really beautiful.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like maybe this was just me, and I don't know if you can relate, but I also feel that at some point you're taught that like being overly sexual is a bad thing.
You know, the whole concept of like when a woman is very sexually active with many partners, they're a slut. While, you know, on the other side, if we want to really just like make it, you know, two sides here, but on the other side, when men do that, they're celebrated, you know, and that's something that's gone back for a very long time. And it's extremely frustrating double standard.
For sure. And I think I've been part of that double standard as well. So I think it's enlightening to have this other perspective, and that this, and like being inherently sexual is not a bad thing. Being confident is not a bad thing. And I definitely think we need to like reclaim that narrative. People who, you know, really who are women and who identify as women, like that's a really important thing. I think that will be coming up in the next few years. Maybe like, I'm going on my soapbox a little bit here, but especially like maybe during the Trump era, where we've been sort of like, you know, hiding in the shadows, not all of us, but some of us. But I think now is really the time to step up and be seen. I think that's what I'm taking from this, is that I have a story. It's worth telling. We all have stories, and we're all our own individual beings. So,
yeah, absolutely. And it's really hard in this new Trump America culture. I just feel like I feel like it's taken away so many people's power of being able to speak up. And I think that it's finally starting to turn around with this like Me Too movement and things like that, that people are standing up to it, when at first it was so shocking that I think almost all of us were just like in a shock mode. And now people are really, I think, banding together and fighting back against all of the people that are being put down in this current climate.
How has burlesque dancing maybe transformed you? Were you always this confident and well-spoken, or did this come along with time?
Sure. I think it's a mix. So I think burlesque came naturally to me because I have always like had at least a pinky toe in the performance world in some type. I was lucky to be raised by two very liberal, badass parents who always encouraged me to be myself, to find things that fed me. My dad is a professional pianist and was a music professor. And so creativity has always just been something in my home. And so I went to school for theater, for performance. And so I feel very comfortable on stage. And that's just something that I've always had. And I love dancing. I love moving my body. But the big jump for me was the concept of letting people see myself in the, I think, most extreme vulnerable state, which is not wearing all my clothes. And that was a really scary thing for me because confidence, I used to only be able to find confidence in being creative in the way I dressed. So I always liked wearing fun outfits and I've always had crazy colored hair and wearing weird makeup and glitter and, you know, all the things. So for me, I always felt comfortable having like a shell. Like my shell was my creativity. It was also my like safe comfort that, you know, I might have like worn funky outfits, but no one was able to see my body. And so that was the real big challenge for me when I started doing burlesque. And I was absolutely terrified. And, you know, dealing with being someone of my size and being curvy and not fitting into everyone's ideal of being attractive, I was really concerned that I would go out there and people would see me and laugh or make fun of me or be disgusted. And that was my biggest fear. I wasn't scared to dance. I wasn't scared to be on stage. I wasn't scared to have character, but I would literally was just terrified of the concept of my clothes coming off and people seeing me exposed. And I kind of just had to take that plunge, like literally just, I mean, the people backstage literally had to like give me a little shove to get on stage the first time because I was so scared. And I think my theater background saved me because I was able to be like, I'm playing a character. I'm not getting naked. Queenie is getting naked. So it's fine. It's totally fine. So like in the moment, taking my clothes off, I wasn't scared. And then I got off stage and I was like, oh my God, I'm naked. Where's my clothes? Like, it just was like this immediate, like, Queenie was dropped. I was back to myself and I was just, my posture changed. It was amazing. Like, on stage, I had this great posture. I had no awareness of, you know how, like, when you're in, like, a vulnerable state, you're just, like, aware of what parts of you are being seen. And when I was on stage, I had no awareness of that or care. And then as soon as I got off stage, I was so aware of the fact that I wasn't wearing clothes. And I immediately dropped my posture and I like hunched my shoulders and tried to cover myself and was so scared. And I couldn't believe that contrast the first time was so extreme. And so I think burlesque dancing has really helped me find the beauty in my actual body. Instead of dressing my body all the time, I was also okay with my actual body, which is a huge, huge difference of being comfortable dressing your outer body and making it look better when the difference is when you take it off, there's no way to cover or change or highlight or take away or whatever. And so that concept of being able to put on Queenie and feel what it was like to not be ashamed of my body really completely changed how I viewed my body all the time.
And how has your mindset sort of improved since you've started doing this more and more often? Because you mentioned being super scared, or not maybe scared, but like uncomfortable with the idea of taking your clothes off on stage. I mean, who wouldn't be? Like, that's really
a nightmare.
Yeah. Like, good for you, not for me. But yeah, how has your mindset maybe improved or changed over the course of your burlesque career?
Well, I think my mindset has been so much more open. I not only for myself, but for others as well, to really the concept of that everyone has a different level of sexuality and being comfortable nude, and that's okay. Because when I first started too, like my concept of being naked on stage was not very naked. Like I still had like a mid corset. I still had like complete fringe covering my butt cheeks. I had the biggest pasties you could possibly imagine. They covered like my whole breast. So like I felt exposed and naked like that, while others felt, you know, while others were going down to teeny tiny merkins and teeny tiny little pasties. And my mindset was like, my body can't do that because my body is bigger than that other body. And digging deeper into burlesque, my mindset completely changed that it's not about the body, it's about the comfort. And some people feel empowered by having their final reveal still having a lot on. And some people feel great about having being as naked as possible. But it's not dependent on what you should or should not do. And I was under the mindset that I have to cover more of my body because I have this body type. But and I think that follows in fashion too, that there are these do's and don'ts for certain body types with clothes. And I think that is a bullshit. This concept that if you have a belly, you can't wear a crop top. Or, you know, if you have cellulite, you can't wear shorts. I just think, you know, it's total bullshit. And my mindset changed because of burlesque, because, you know, or before that I would have been like, oh, you're absolutely right. I can't wear a crop top. I have a belly that like one of my belly shows, it's a belly, you know, like I can't wear short shorts because my cellulite will show and that's not okay. But my mindset has completely changed since doing burlesque because it's being able to see all these different bodies doing all these different things and feeling great about it because that's how you feel about it. That there's no right or wrong way to dress or treat your body, no matter what society says. But that if you feel happy and confident in the clothes or not clothes you're wearing, then that's what you should do.
And could you explain what a merkin is to those unfamiliar?
Absolutely. So there's a historical context to a merkin, and then there's like a burlesque concept. So historically, merkins were created years and years ago in brothels because prostitutes had to shave because of diseases and crabs and things like that. It was safer. It was more hygienic. So these prostitutes would shave everything. But at the time, it was not attractive to not have pubic hair. So they would create merkins of pubic hair and put on top of them. So it looks like they had pubic hair when they didn't. Because for hygiene, they couldn't have pubic hair. But the society's view of what was sexually attractive was pubic hair, which is kind of hilarious in today's culture. But so that's what they did in order to get customers for these, sex workers of a different time. Currently in burlesque, it's that same concept where it's just, sometimes it's called a C string instead of a G string. So a C string just literally covers your bits. So it's just a little bit in the front, either glued or taped down, just enough to cover. And then it goes through and then just a little bit on the top of your butt crack. So everything else is exposed. So that's as naked as you can get legally in burlesque in certain states. I mean, there are some states that you can do full nudity, but if you're wearing something at the end of your burlesque costume, the merkin's the least amount you can wear on your bits. But, you know, men wear merkins too. They're just a very different shape. But, you know, some boylesque performers wear merkins, or however you identify as your gender, the merkin can work for whatever you have.
Who knew? I even learned something.
Funny, the irony, though, that it started as pubic hair, and now it's covered in rhinestones.
I mean, that's better, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. Although, you know, there's also people who take a comedic twist with it and have done, like have done hairy merkins.
Yeah.
Serious, you know, or people do merkins and pasties to kind of give the middle finger to nudity laws, and they'll have it look like their parts. So it's not their parts, but it's covered by something that looks like their parts. So people get very creative. I love that.
Yes, great.
There's a performer here, Nadia Morena, and she actually does a number, and she calls her merkin her sparkle badge.
Oh my!
It really anatomically done in rhinestones, and she's even able to spread the false labia.
Oh, wow.
It's like anatomically correct. It's fabulous.
Oh my gosh. I'm dying. That's so funny. But that's a great sort of next transition is what's the process of getting ready? Like, what are your costumes like? Could you explain sort of that whole aspect of it too? Because it's part, you know, you showing up, but you have a whole look, you have character, you got makeup. So let's hear more about that.
So some people prefer to get ready at home and will come like in full makeup and hair. Other people like to get ready together at the venue. For me, it depends on the venue. Like if I'm comfortable in the venue, I'll get ready there. But if I don't know what it's going to be like, I'd much prefer to just get ready at home. But you know, and other people have all different levels and styles of makeup in burlesque. But I think it's really important that people definitely take that extra bit to make sure that their makeup is stage ready, because there are stage lights, there's all sorts of different things, and you're creating a character. So it should look like an exaggeration of you or something different from you. So we use a lot of glitter, anything that kind of sparkles on stage and hits the lights. It's really popular. I personally, when I'm doing my makeup, I usually am listening to the music of the numbers I'm going to be performing to, just so the music itself kind of gets in my body. Even if I've done it a million times, it's really good for me to just kind of have that music really familiarized while I'm doing my makeup, kind of getting in the feeling of it and the feeling of the character I'm going to do. We joke together backstage while we're doing our makeup. We hand each other lip liners and eyeliners and help each other out. And it can be a really great way to for everyone to really have camaraderie before an event. Or some people really need that private time to center themselves. So it's really important to kind of be respectful of people's personal choices of what they like to do before they go on stage. But yeah, I find definitely I at least listen to the music that I'm going to be performing a couple times to really kind of get in the right atmosphere. So that's kind of like the prep of like doing makeup and stuff like that. Costuming wise, burlesque is all about the tease. So, you know, the removal during a burlesque number is often really thought out, whether it's specific to parts of the music or whether it's specific to a build of the character or if it's how it's revealed. Because like people come up with really creative ways to take off bits and pieces of their costumes to make it seem almost like magic. And then there's also lots of different feels of burlesque numbers, which kind of helps drive the costuming. So like a classic burlesque number has a lot of elements that are kind of expected within classic burlesque. So there's like costuming wise, there's often like a boa or an elaborate headpiece, or there's a panel skirt. You know, there's different like bits like that that are very specific to classic burlesque. And then there's the concept of like neo burlesque, which is you take the elements of classic burlesque with how the peeling or the striptease is going, but it's to modern music. The costumes are often kind of a mix between traditional burlesque and kind of like updated versions of sexy wear. And so neo burlesque is kind of like a mix. And then there's something fun that's called like nerdlesque, which is kind of the concept of incorporating burlesque and cosplay together in one. And that is very specific costuming. But you also have to think about the fact that you're portraying this specific character, but you're also doing burlesque. So there has to be a striptease element. So you can't just show up in what they look like. You have to also conceptually be like, well, what would the next layer be? What would they wear underneath? Or how can I continue this aesthetic through the costuming through each layer so it still is telling a story, or it still is the same conceptual colors or the same conceptual styling with the song? So costuming is so integral in burlesque and is really the way to kind of tie the whole thing together. I am really starting to delve deep into nerdlesque, and I'm really enjoying it. The concept of like taking on these characters, but doing them in this performance art style has been really interesting and also challenging, like I said, to like figure out like, well, what's the next layer going to be? So yeah, so costuming is one of the biggest elements of a burlesque number, and it's really conceptual and thoughtful. And it often drives like what makeup you do and what hair you do and how you're feeling that night. So listening to music is also really important, because some show I might be doing like classic burlesque numbers to like vintage jazz. And that's a very different emotion than going out and doing like modern music as Daria, you know, like, or a different like cosplay character. So that's why that's always kind of an integral part of my getting ready. But costuming, I mean, has been taken to so many different cool heights and like practically just magic. It's so cool to see what people are coming up with.
Do you typically make your own costumes, or is that something you can buy?
It's kind of a mix. So a lot of us will kind of buy basics, and then we will add all the things to it. We'll add fringe and trim and rhinestones and appliques and all sorts of stuff to make it a costume. Some people have things made for them. It's not really, you can't really go online and buy a burlesque costume. But you can often buy a corset and, you know, a lingerie set and a boa. And then you can take all those items and then find, and then go to the fabric store and find all the sparklies and the trims and the fringe and then add it to it. And then it looks nothing like the base that you got. So people really get creative about finding something that anybody could buy and then making it look like no one else could do it.
And I actually just realized, I don't think I've ever been to like a burlesque show. The only frame of reference I have is Lady Gaga in A Star Is Born. I don't know how accurate that is. So can you just sort of walk me through what a show looks like and what to expect?
Sure. So again, burlesque shows are all a little different. I would say the most common ones that I do, my regular one is with Black Hearts Burlesque, which is the cast that I'm a part of at Lush. And so that's at a gay bar, but we are lucky that we have a whole like event center. So there's a stage, there's an audience that gets to sit in tables and chairs. We have professional lighting and sound, and we have a fabulous host. And Black Hearts Burlesque is also a mix of lots of different performances. It's primarily burlesque, but we usually also always have a drag performer, or we often have someone on cast who is like does aerial. And things like that. So it's kind of like a variety show, but it's primarily burlesque. We have a host that comes out and greets the crowd, that introduces everyone, that kind of keeps the show going. And then everyone's responsible for their own numbers. So it's a very independent art form, because yes, you're booked for shows, but you are responsible personally for everything you put on that stage. You pick your own music, you come up with your own concepts, you come up with your own costumes, and you go out and do it. It's really nice because you have this freedom to express yourself really however you want to. But sometimes it's like, well, I also have no guidance. Like, you know, sometimes it's like, what's going to inspire my next number? So yeah, so a burlesque show kind of runs like that. And then a burlesque number, everyone again has like kind of a different style, and there's lots of different ways you could express yourself through burlesque. You know, there's a striptease element to it. So you start in a full costume, and then as the song progresses, you take off more and more of your costume until you're left with the level of nudity that you're comfortable with and that the bar or wherever allows. The creativity comes with taking off, how you take off the costume pieces, or how the magic is released of them. And then it's also, you know, it kind of tells a story of you taking them off. So that happens at certain points in the music. Like maybe the music is building and building and building, and then has like a cymbal crash. Like that's a great time to take something off, you know? So it's really integral with the music. It's kind of all interwoven together of your character, the music, the costuming, the reveals, like all of it kind of builds off of each other. But I the audiences of burlesque shows are almost always women or couples, queers. I mean, it's rare that we just see men in the audience. Like if men are there, they're usually with someone else. So it's really something that women want to go to and experience and see. And also we're lucky that at Lush, it's also a very safe space for people of the queer community to come out. All different people on the spectrum of queer come out and are able to be celebrated. And so burlesque shows are really just a really good time. And it's really a positive environment. It's about really connecting with the audience is really important too. And so I think the audience has a great time because they feel like they're part of the show. They're not just sitting back and watching something that's completely separated from them as a human. And then there's also live band shows. Like I did a show this past weekend in St. Cloud, and it was this venue that was like a speakeasy. And so there was a live band, and we did more traditional costumes. And it was fun because we got to walk through the crowd. And those are fun too, because you get to literally interact directly with the audience. Instead of just making eye contact, I could like come right up on someone. I put my bra on someone's head, you know, like things like this, like full engagement is so much fun. And with a band that's live, you can just keep going because the band's going to keep going. So, you know, that's really fun too, to have that freedom that if you're really having a great time and the audience is totally invested, with the live band, you can just keep going as long as you want. Those are kind of the two big types of burlesque shows, are like a sit down, they're on a stage, you're enjoying yourself, or you're being interacted with. Those are kind of the two primary ways.
Just a one quick question, I guess, because I think I emailed you this and I was like, oh yeah, talk about your drag. And you're like, no, burlesque is not drag. So can you quickly explain the difference between those?
Yeah, and sometimes there's overlap because some people say they're drag-lesque performers because some people do both. And we joke that we still get into drag because we still have characters and personas and makeup and transformations. But I think the biggest part about drag that I personally like would never call myself a drag performer is that drag is so integrated in the concept of playing with gender. I fully identify as my own gender and always have, and my performances always identify with my female gender that I was born. And but drag takes on, and it doesn't necessarily mean you're portraying a different gender. There's just an incorporation of the concept of playing with gender. And so there are drag performers that do burlesque, and there's burlesque performers that do drag, and then some overlap. So some people, when they're in drag, are also doing elements of burlesque with striptease and things like that. And so there is an overlap within our communities that is great, and we learn a lot from each other, but there's also differences between them. And I think the primary one is the idea of the concept of playing with gender.
That was Queenie Von Curves on the Shit You Need to Know podcast. I hope you loved it as much as I did. I learned a lot from Queenie, and I can't wait to go see her while, you know, she's performing here. And if you're in Minneapolis and want to check it out, I will have all that information in the show notes. But if you listen to that episode and you're still like, you know, I love the confidence message, but I still, you know, I need a little help in that area, especially when I'm going on dates with people, well, I have a solution for you. You can check on my website at www.shityouneedtoknow.com/freebies, and I have a free guide for the top 10 conversation starters for first dates. I know I am an awkward human, but I mastered the dating game, and I know these questions will help you get out of the comfort zone and ask questions that are thought-provoking, and I don't know, it'll make you sound smart. Of course it will. I wrote them. So check that out on my website if you need a little bit of extra help to really step in and be more confident. I got your back, and I hope you will love it as much as I loved creating it. So we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to the Shit You Need to Know podcast. I've set up a phone number in case you have a question you need answering or just want to talk. Feel free to give me a ring at 301-941-7448. That's 301-941-SHIT. Also, don't give me a ring. No one does that. You can text the number too. I don't know why I said ring. If you enjoyed this episode of the Shit You Need to Know podcast, feel free to subscribe on iTunes and rate it 5 stars.